I'm flexible. So I'm not a gardener. I never have been. I never will be. I'll put that picture on the screen, please, Nelson. This is not my garden. It's a garden in France. And I don't know what any of that is. I don't know the difference between a peony, a posy, a rose, a thorn bush. I don't know the difference between a plant that's going to produce zucchini or grapes. I'm sure that some of you look at that and say, that's quite beautiful, really. And if you zoomed in, you could probably identify which are which, but I don't really care. But that doesn't matter, because you don't need to be a gardener or a fruit grower to know what Jesus is getting at in today's passage. And I'm going to have the words on the screen with a nice kind of vine background to keep the theme going. I don't know what this thing is on the screen. Thank you, Nelson. Next slide. It's got some kind of, maybe it's a tomato. I don't know. But again, it doesn't matter. You don't have to know either. Here's what Jesus is saying, and he's using individual language, so he uses his, but it could be her as well. He's talking about the person, the individual. It's not just the men who are in view here. It's talking about people who. I want you just to cast your eye over that again. It's a really short part of God's word, but he says the same thing several times, doesn't he? A good tree does not, will not produce bad fruit. A bad tree will not, does not produce good fruit. If you want to know what kind of tree a tree is, don't ask what the seed was that was planted. Watch the fruit. In that respect, fruit trees have integrity. They can't be anything else than what they are. Indeed, there's this absurdity Jesus wants us to see. Thorn bushes yielding figs? Get out of it. Bramble bushes yielding grapes? It's not going to happen, because that's not the kind of plant it is. Flip side, common sense thing Jesus wants us to see. The kingdom, blessed life thing that Jesus wants us to see. Is that grapevines yield grapes and fig trees produce figs? Of course they do. That's the type of plants that they are. To put it really succinctly, fruit proves root. That's the point today. Fruit proves root. Three questions for us to consider. Next slide. Thank you, Nelson. Firstly, where are your roots? This is about having a good or evil source. But Jesus is quite binary. Where's your power coming from, in other words? What's true of a tree and a plant is that it goes down. And it beds in. And what's that like for you? Where are your roots? The Bible has lots of different ways of talking about this. I'm just going to pick out three and ask clarifying questions about this, about our sources, our roots. So Psalm 1, which is what grow is based on, here it is. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on the Lord's law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers. Where are your roots? Is your source good or evil? Do you, in Psalm 1's frame, love the voice of God, which produces the law and words of God? Well, Jesus put it this way in Luke 11. He's talking to people who were guilty of hypocrisy. Luke 11, 39. And hypocrisy, by the way, is something he talked about earlier in Luke 6. And indeed, in our passage today, it's the kind of thing where a tree, a fruit tree, produces a thing that it can't produce. So now then, you Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you're full of greed and wickedness, you foolish people. Did not the one, speaking of God, who made the outside, make the inside also? But now, as for what is inside you, be generous to the poor, and everything will be clean for you. Where are your roots? Is your source good or evil? Have you cleaned up the outside of your life, but not the inside? Keeping up appearances, or goodness springing from a good, holy, pure source? Another way the Bible talks about the source where our roots go down to is James 1. He's instructing the churches who are scattered to remember not to be like they used to be, but rather, James 1:21, humbly accept the word planted in you. Humbly accept the word planted in you. So where are your roots? Is your source good or evil? Do you have the source of power that is the gospel word, the good news that Jesus is Lord and that his lordship extends to a reigning over heaven and earth, that in his life, death, resurrection and ascension, that reigning broke in and will one day be fully and finally consummated when he returns? Now, I'm saying you a lot. I would be saying the same to me, because this is about very personal challenge. Jesus isn't so much interested that we apply this to anyone else but ourselves. Life his way, the Jesus way, the blessed life, is a personal invitation before it's a community one. It's very tempting for us to cast our critical eye over others and say, there's a mismatch there. They say one thing, but they do another. There's a mismatch there. I judge that person for their lack of integrity. I can see your bad fruit. That's secondary. Jesus is about do honest self-evaluation and correction on yourself first. Then that leads us to our next question. What are you storing up? This is about having good or evil deposits. I'm not a gardener, but I think I know at the very least, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think this sounds right. If you plant, if you garden, you need to do a few things to ensure health, vitality, fruitfulness. Things like planting at the right time of year, fertilizing the soil, nourishing it, giving it water. Let's put all of that into an umbrella term and call it feeding. In other words, depositing, which leads to stores to draw from that the roots can be fed by. Again, just trying to simplify it down. Goodness in, goodness out. Garbage in, garbage out. We know intuitively this is how life works, particularly for the Jesus person. And that should encourage us, because if you take in goodness, you have a very good chance at giving goodness out. We're talking here about holiness of living. We have so much that we're going to get to this in a moment in terms of how we take goodness in. We have so many opportunities to produce good. But likewise, there's no such thing as garbage in leading to goodness out. We're fooling ourselves. We try to take in evil deposits and think that there's going to be any good output. No. Interestingly, in Matthew 12, Jesus says something I hope gives us hope. He says in Matthew 12:33, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. That's a note of hope. If you, in your life, we're going to get to this in a second in terms of overflow, but if you're seeing fruit that you wish wasn't there, there's hope, there's change possible. One way of changing your fruit is to change your deposits. Goodness in, resulting in goodness out. Stop the garbage in, you'll stop the garbage out. This is, I love the imagery of storing up that Jesus uses, because it suggests that there's this habit going on, there's this pattern of life that we need to choose it. We need to choose to keep making a habit of making deposits that are good, and that results in like a settled stash. In other words, our heart. You and I have, if you're on social media, you might not be. If you're on normal media that's not social, this is for you too. We take in, we have a choice to, garbage or goodness, sometimes within a minute. And we have this opportunity to take goodness in, to avoid garbage. For you now, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about which is which in your life. I'll never forget a pastor and writer I love called John Tyson. He talked about feeling as though his senses were assaulted. He lives in New York City and he's a pastor trying hard to bring hope to that dark place. His senses being assaulted just by reading the daily news cycle. And John Tyson, in order to counteract all of the darkness and evil deposits being placed in his heart just by consuming the news, he would open up his computer and there was a folder that just said beauty files. And he would store images of sunsets and babies smiling. For him, the Northern Lights. Last night we got an awesome display of our own. Images of beauty to counteract the death and destruction and devastation that he felt was garbage going in order to result in light coming out. This might be theoretical for you. You're wondering, well, how do I know what kind of settled stash I really have? That is, how do you know whether the deposits you've been putting in have been good or evil? Unless you haven't got that insight and that self-awareness to be able to assess that right here, right now, here's a shortcut. It will come out, and this is the third point, in your fruit. You'll know what kind of settled stash you've got when it flows out of your heart and comes out of your mouth. That's Jesus' promise. Not just his teaching, this is his promise. Luke 6:45, the end of the verse. An evil person produces evil out of the evil stored up in his or her heart, for his or her mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. Another translation puts it, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So you want to know what your heart's full of? Listen to yourself speak. Now we can be self-deceived in thinking that we've got good words, good fruit that we produce. I think that's exactly why Jesus is saying it. Because there were plenty of people who thought they were good in his time who were religious hypocrites. Matthew 6 is just one aspect. Like, you can't just trust that because you've got seemingly good fruit, you must be a good tree. When Jesus talks about the Pharisees and sometimes directly to the Pharisees, he's actually pointing out their good fruit all the time. It's just that it comes from bad trees. Have a listen. He says, Matthew 6:1, be careful to his disciples not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father in heaven. So whenever you give to the poor, don't sound a trumpet before you as hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be applauded by people. Later on, he says, verse 5, whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites because they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. Seemingly good fruit, but actually no integrity. Doing it all for the praise of people. If you don't know what your fruit is, ask someone who lives with you, someone who's close to you. It's a bold question. What do you see? How do you experience me? What kind of fruit am I bearing? They will show you what you can't see yourself. They will tell you what your fruit is. And don't be surprised if it ends up being different to what you think it is. What kind of fruit should we be producing, by the way? Let's get a bit more specific. Jesus talks about words. The heart overflows and then the mouth speaks. So think about our words for a moment. Our words should be producing good fruit. Or in other words, our words should be the good fruit of a good deposit connected to a good source. I love how James, again, if you want to know this stuff, this is so great, the consistency of the Bible. James may have even seen this life on display in his home with big brother Jesus. James would say, James 3, verse 9, with the tongue we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in God's likeness. Blessing and cursing come out of the same mouth. My brothers and sisters, these things should not be this way, James says. Does a spring pour out sweet, bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree produce olives, my brothers and sisters, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a saltwater spring yield fresh water. He's being very direct. It shouldn't be this way. It often is. That's not his point. He's saying, this is not for the people of God to be so deceived to thinking that you can bless and curse at the same time. Maybe you've been in traffic and it's been bad. You've been cut off and you're going to somewhere to meet people and you've cursed those on the road, on the way, and there's like this switch that gets flicked the moment you step out of the door of the car. Hi! And you just before that, you were doing a lot of cursing. It might not have been with swear words, but it was with a measure of evil intent toward the person who'd annoyed you. What's going on there? It's a James 3 situation. How can you bless and curse from the same mouth? That's like a stream producing fresh and salt water. It doesn't work. Shouldn't work that way. I think about Proverbs 18:21. This is a wonderful. Could I try this one? This is a wonderful memory verse if you're into memorizing the Bible. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Boy, that is extraordinarily powerful. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's not just a wisdom saying, it's a promise. Imagine someone said to you, I'm going to record you. I'm going to put a wire. You know, in the movies are like, are you wearing a wire? You know, that kind of thing. Imagine you had a wire on you one day, but you didn't know when it was going to be. And you couldn't feel it, and you didn't know the exact time of day it was going to be. Imagine like in 50 years, the technology is so amazing, they can just do it and you don't even know, right? I wonder what that would produce in you. Maybe some paranoia. Am I getting recorded? Is today the day? I mean, after a few days, you kind of forget and you'd stop self-monitoring. Imagine being told all your conversations are on record and then you got to listen back. On a day that you can't pretend, what will the recording reveal? What's the overflow of your heart? What would the content of your words be like? What would the tone of your words be like? If you want to know what the overflow of your heart is, it's right there, good or bad. The root is proven by the fruit. Or just keeping with this fruit analogy, Sam alluded to it earlier, Galatians 5. There are two kinds of fruit on display here. Although Paul talks about the works of the flesh, if you think about them like flesh fruit and then spirit fruit, it's a helpful contrast. So Galatians 5, 16 to 25. I want you to notice what synchronicity there is with the words of Jesus here. And our questions are so relevant. The source, the deposits, the overflow, it's either the flesh or the spirit. Binary choice. Galatians 5, 16.
I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh desires what's against the Spirit. The Spirit desires what's against the flesh. These are opposed to each other so that you don't do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The works of the flesh are obvious. He goes through a bunch. I'm warning you about these things, as I warned you before. Those who practice them will not inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Now, before we conclude, we just have to ask one question. What about the contradictions that seem to arise? I mean, intellectually, we might get Jesus' point. It's not a complicated one, though it's a challenging one. But we might feel it's a bit more mixed than this. For example, good fruit seems to come from bad trees. Many celebrity Christian leaders have spectacularly fallen morally in the past, the last 5 years. You could tick them off. People who seem to have had an amazing impact for the kingdom of God and yet have led bankrupt lives. And then bad fruit seems to come from good trees, like Christians who we love and trust make mistakes. Does that mean they're automatically proving themselves to be bad trees? I don't know the answer to all that, but here it is, the trajectory that the Bible seems to trace. It's about change. And the longer you follow Jesus, producing more good fruit than bad. Like a bit like a fruit tree that takes ages to actually burst forth in fruit. That you have to trust the roots, you have to trust the deposits, and then you can see eventually, sooner or later, it's good. I love how Galatians 6, just to carry on with this, verse 7 to 9 puts it, whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Look to the fruit trees, my friends, as integrity prompts. They can't be anything than what they actually are. Be like that and be warned by the rotten, decaying fruit, because it's a sign it's a bad tree. I'm going to pray a prayer of blessing over us, because I think we need help. We need to take what the Spirit has done in this 15 minutes and turn conviction into change. Not more guilt, not more shame. Conviction into change. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're stunned. We're feeling at times the weight of our disobedience when we can think about what it is to produce good fruit. We're humbled. I want to really pray for those here tonight who long to be producing more good fruit. Please enable them to transform their deposits, to tend to the good source, the roots that are firmly planted in you, and pile on nourishment. What will be for their feeding? Goodness, not garbage. And let them watch as you produce good fruit. But tonight, for those of us who can see bad fruit in our lives, and maybe only bad fruit, would you come and plant the word of the gospel in us, that we can be free to love and obey you? Would you please, by your Holy Spirit, encourage us with the picture, the image of the fruit trees. It's absurd to think that one kind of tree will produce another kind of fruit. Help us have integrity. We believe the world craves to see Christians who do what they say and say what they do. In Christ's name, amen.